author Philip Keller wrote, "It is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require, more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care." This is true. God created most animals with an uncanny instinct to find their way home. But if sheep stray into unfamiliar territory, they become completely disoriented and they cannot find their way home. Sheep need a shepherd to guide them, feed them, and protect them. Sheep spend most of their time eating and drinking. But if they become lost, they are helpless to find adequate food and water. Left to themselves, sheep will indiscriminately eat both healthy plants and poisonous plants. They also need to be led to water that is not impure and water that is not moving too rapidly. That's why the psalmist referred to being led beside quiet waters in Psalm 23. Sheep are much in need of other assistance as well. Because their wool secretes large volumes of oily lanolin that permeates their fleece, an abundance of dirt and grass and wind-blown debris cling to their wool. Since sheep have no ability to clean themselves, they remain soiled until the shepherd shears them. How bad is this? Well, between shearings, this dirty, sticky accumulation must be cut away from under their tails, or else they won't be able to eliminate waste, which can eventually kill them. Because sheep are also defenseless against predators, when attacked, their only recourse is to run. Just one problem. Sheep are incredibly slow. I picture sheep running about the speed that I jog out on Ebenezer before work in the mornings. That is incredibly slow. Therefore, the shepherd must continually defend his sheep from attack. It's not surprising, then, that Jesus compared crowds of people who were disoriented, confused, and spiritually lost to sheep without a shepherd. These people could not feed themselves spiritually. They had no one to lead them or protect them. The prophet Isaiah also compared humanity's lost condition to that of stray sheep when he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." All that I've just described about sheep was familiar to first century people. Sheep were common in the society of those to whom Peter was writing. Of course, Peter also understood the imagery of sheep and shepherds when he called believers the flock of God, and when he commanded pastors to shepherd them. Since people are also prone to wandering, to consuming what is bad for them, and to being highly defenseless on their own, the demand for faithful shepherds is compelling. Also, when the church is under severe persecution, as it was in Peter's day, the need for strong, godly shepherds is even more significant. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, our primary text for today. "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet lording it over those who are allotted to your charge. Let me say that again. Not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Writing to church leaders of his day and to church leaders in all eras, Peter gives several crucial exhortations for shepherds and sheep. The first one is this: who are shepherds and what are they to do? From verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd. As we recently learned, and I know Sarah Kerstetter loves this part, as we recently learned, when you see the word therefore in Scripture, what do we do, Sarah? Always look back at the previous verses to see what the word therefore is there for. If you were here a few weeks ago, Sarah did this little huh kind of noise right at this point. I guess she thought it was funny. So I just saw Sarah and I thought I should mention it so she can be embarrassed one more time. Now in this case, the word therefore refers back to the fact that the people to whom Peter was writing were suffering persecution. They were being attacked for righteousness' sake. This led Peter to exhort the elders to shepherd their troubled, beleaguered sheep. So the first noteworthy point is this: Scripture affirms that spiritual leadership within the church is assigned to elders. The first mention of elders is in Acts chapter 11, verse 30, where Luke identifies elders as the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. 1 Timothy 5:17 gives additional insight into the role of the elders in the church. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. And Titus 1:5 establishes that elders were to lead every church in every city. The qualifications for elders appear in two passages, 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7 and Titus chapter 1 verses 5 through 9. Now, in every church, someone functionally fills the role of elders. In some churches, deacons function as elders. In some churches, a group of godly laymen serve as elders. At Parkway, our ministers serve as elders. So Peter is exhorting the elders, who are God's appointed leaders for the church. It might also be helpful to know that there are three interchangeable New Testament words which are used to refer to these men, each with a little bit different nuance. First, the term elder emphasizes the spiritual maturity necessary for such ministry. Then, the word overseer. This emphasizes the responsibility of guardianship and protection. Third is the term pastor / or shepherd. It's the same word in Greek. And this emphasizes the responsibility of feeding the sheep. Feeding the sheep refers to teaching the truth of God's word. So, the role of shepherd carries with it a significant responsibility before the Lord. While this role does include the elements of spiritual leadership and spiritual protection of the flock, the foremost objective of the shepherd is to feed the flock through the preaching and teaching of God's word. Peter himself received firsthand instruction on the primary responsibility of a shepherd from the risen Savior. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." The shepherd's job is not to tell people what they want to hear, but to tell them what they need to hear. The shepherd is to strengthen the sheep with the deep truths of spiritual food that help produce discernment, conviction, wisdom, and maturity in Christ. No matter which New Testament terminology is used to identify the shepherd and his responsibilities, underneath it all is the primary responsibility of teaching biblical truth. A shepherd is to feed the sheep. Peter included a compelling motivation in his exhortation to church leaders. Peter reminded them that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter also reminded them that as a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, an eternal reward awaits those who faithfully serve the Lord. The glory that is to be revealed focuses on the return of Christ. That believers are allowed to share in this glory with Jesus is the essence of what believers throughout the ages have referred to as the blessed hope. Exhortations for shepherds and sheep. Number two, who are shepherds to shepherd? From verse 2, shepherd the flock of God among you. Why are the responsibilities of shepherds so serious? According to the text, because shepherds do not shepherd their own flock, they shepherd the flock of God. It's not my flock. It's not my church. It's God's church. Jesus came to earth to redeem his church. After he ascended back to heaven, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower his church. The fact that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood emphasizes how valuable the church is to Jesus. Commentator R.C.H. Linsky echoes this emphasis. This is God's flock that was bought at a great price, and it is exceedingly precious in his sight. A great trust is placed into the hands of human shepherds who are to pattern themselves after Christ, the Good Shepherd. What shepherd could care for any part of God's flock and treat it carelessly? Let me add a personal word at this point. I take the shepherding of this flock very seriously. At times, the responsibility is absolutely overwhelming. In many ways, I am very inadequate to serve as your shepherd. And yet, I know that this is God's calling on my life. May I make a request? Would you please faithfully pray for me? If God doesn't work in me and through me to accomplish his purposes, there is absolutely no possibility, no hope of success. I desperately need your prayers for wisdom, courage, humility, and protection. Exhortations for shepherds and sheep. Number three, how are shepherds to shepherd? From verses 2 and 3. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. To the question of how shepherds should shepherd, Peter provides answers on what shepherds should do and on what shepherds should not do. Exercising oversight translates a single Greek word which means to have scope over. So shepherds are charged with the task of watching over the sheep to assess their spiritual condition in order to lead them and feed them. So what do? Shepherds lead and feed. So if shepherds are to lead and feed, what are sheep to do? Sheep are to follow and swallow. That makes sense, right? Shepherds lead and feed, sheep follow and swallow. Next, shepherds are to exercise oversight by proving to be examples to the flock. Shepherds need to become sufficiently involved in the lives of the flock that they are able to demonstrate a godly pattern for others to follow. The most important aspect of spiritual leadership is the power of an exemplary life. The shepherd of God should legitimately be able to say, "You follow me as I follow Christ." Spiritual oversight involves three dangers to avoid, which are inherent in the shepherding task. The first danger to avoid: shepherding under compulsion rather than as willing servants who minister voluntarily. The point is that a shepherd must be diligent rather than lazy. He must be heart-motivated rather than forced. He must be passionate about his privileged duty rather than indifferent. When his heart is fully surrendered to Christ, and when his heart is motivated by a love for God and a love for people, no external motivation is needed. One additional motivation for shepherds to give their best in the ministry that God has called them to do is listed in Hebrews 13, 17. This verse is actually addressed to sheep, but at the same time, note God's expectation of the shepherd. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Every shepherd must give an account to God. That is very sobering and very serious. Another danger for shepherds to avoid: being motivated by money. In Acts chapter 20, verses 30 through 35, Paul manifests the right attitude. "I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And yet, this is not to say that shepherds should not be properly compensated. In 1 Corinthians 9:14, Paul also taught that those who minister the word have a right to their financial needs being met by those who benefit from their ministry. In fact, in the 1 Timothy 5 passage we read a few minutes ago, it said that those shepherds who serve diligently and who teach the word are worthy of double honor, which means generous support from those to whom they minister. Sordid gain speaks to the shameful acquisition of wealth. True shepherds will never use the ministry to acquire wealth dishonestly. Admittedly, there are a few preachers, especially TV preachers, who shamelessly manipulate people for money. Such despicable behavior is typical for charlatans and heretics who masquerade as servants of God. In his second letter, Peter characterizes these false teachers in vivid language. In their greed, Peter says, they will make up clever lies to get a hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. Peter then mentions a third danger for shepherds to avoid, the desire to sinfully dominate others. The phrase "lording it over" connotates an intense domination of people and circumstances. Leadership which intentionally intimidates others is a perversion of the office of overseer. Jesus himself set the standard. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then, an even greater weight is added to the shepherd's responsibility. Peter added a strong reminder for those who shepherd, that those who shepherd do not choose their responsibility, nor do they choose those for whom they are responsible. Verse 3 says that every shepherd has a flock allotted to his charge by the Lord himself. God calls and appoints. Shepherds answer and obey. Exhortations for shepherds and sheep. Number 4. Why are shepherds to shepherd? From verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." The title chief shepherd is one of the most beautiful titles for Jesus in all of Scripture. The Gospel of John calls Jesus the good shepherd. The writer of Hebrews calls Jesus the great shepherd. Earlier in this letter, Peter called Jesus the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The term "appears" once again refers to Jesus' second coming. At the second coming of Jesus, shepherds will receive the unfading crown of glory. In the Greco-Roman world of Peter's day, crowns rather than trophies were awarded for athletic victories. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. These temporary crowns, many of which were made from plants, would wither and die rather quickly. But Peter was looking forward to an eternal crown, a crown of eternal glory, which can never wither or fade or die. The reward of eternal glory should be all that any shepherd needs as motivation to serve faithfully. For that matter, the reward of eternal glory should be all that any follower of Christ needs to serve the Lord faithfully. Shepherding the flock of God is a serious, sobering responsibility. Let me say it one more time. Pastors are accountable to God for their ministry. James was fully aware of this accountability when he wrote the following: "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Now, how does this verse strike you? Can I tell you how it strikes me? Sometimes it makes me want to run and hide because I know my own weaknesses. I know my own failings. I know my own inadequacies. And sometimes I think, why me, God? It's too hard. I have only one hope: Christ in me, the hope of glory. I do want to take this opportunity to thank you as a church. In spite of my imperfections, in spite of my failings, you have loved me and supported me. I am so thankful. As a church, you have been good to me. Really, better than I deserve. I again want to ask you to pray for me. And I also want to ask you to pray for other ministers in our church. In fact, I want to give you some specifics, if I may. Here are 5 ways that you can pray for your ministers. First, pray for our protection from the evil one. If your ministers have major failures, it will severely damage many people. So please pray for our protection from the evil one. Second, pray for the protection of our families from the evil one. If the enemy cannot hurt us directly, he will try to hurt us by hurting our families. Please pray for our families. Third, pray that God would give us genuine humility. Arrogance is the enemy of godliness. That is not who we want to be. Fourth, pray that God would give us courage to obey Him. At times, obeying God invites the wrath of man. We need courage to obey God. One more. Pray that God would give us His wisdom. Heaven knows we need it. The challenges of ministry and the challenges of people are too great to be able to handle it in our own wisdom. If we don't have the wisdom of God, we are in big trouble. So, will you pray for us? In your bulletin, you will see an insert. Let's see if I can find mine here. You will see an insert that has the picture of one of our ministers on it. They look like this. We have varied which minister's insert is in which bulletin. So, some bulletins have Tom, some have Tim, some have JJ, some have me. You'll see the 5 prayer requests I just shared with you, plus 2 additional personal prayer requests from each minister. So, that's 7 requests total, 1 for each day of the week. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Would you be willing to pray these 7 requests for our ministers, whichever insert you have, pray for that minister. would you be willing to pray these seven requests for 28 days? That's seven requests repeated four times for a total of 28 days. If you miss a day, don't worry about it. Just pick up where you left off. Keep praying for the minister whose sheet you have for 28 days. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. If you would be willing to participate in praying for your ministers in this way for 28 days, I want to ask you to raise your hand. We need your prayers. Thank you so very much. Your prayers are very important. Now, finally, there's one more thing that I want to ask you to do this morning. Two of our ministers are out of town, so I thought about doing all of us, but with some of them gone, I thought, let me just do this. I want to ask you if you would take a few minutes now to pray for me as your senior pastor. I need your prayers. The task before me is too hard, and I am way too inadequate to do it without the prayers of God's people. So here's what I'd like to do. As Donna plays, I would like to kneel at the altar, and I would like to ask that those of you who would be comfortable doing so, men, women, students, whoever, I'd like to ask you to come and lay hands on me and pray for me. You can certainly pray the five prayer requests that are above, or God may lay something else on your heart for which you'd like to pray. I just would appreciate your prayers. Now, for the sake of efficiency, I'd like to ask that everyone quietly pray aloud all at the same time. God is plenty big enough to decipher all of your prayers all at once. Then in a few minutes, after you've had time to pray, I've asked Benny Hagee if he would come and lead aloud in a prayer to conclude this time. Thank you for your willingness to pray. I really appreciate it. Let's begin.